ek wou nie motorbikes nie. Maar ek gaan probeer preek, so ek ons seker of dit kan werk. Is lekker om by julle te wees. Is altyd vir my lekker om te sien hoe julle vry is en mekaar net kan geniet en net julle self kan wees. So dit was net om te sê ek kan Afrikaans praat en eintlik is ek Afrikaans, maar die res gaan nou in Engels wees. Kom ons bid saam. Father, we thank you that we can gather in your name. And your word is so clear that when we gather in your name, then you are there with us. And Father, we read so many times in the Old Testament story upon story upon story about how you did incredible things when you showed up in the midst of your people. And Father, we want to invite you that this morning you would show up. Father, your people have gathered because they love you, because they want to worship you, but also because they want to hear from you. Father, together, collectively, we open our hearts and we say, Holy Spirit, would you come and speak to us? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, skryf gou gou julle TV reg. Julle het 'n mooi TV. Ek like julle TV. Hoe lank is die TV al hierso? Van laas week af? 3 weke. So hy is nog vars. Moet hom nog inpreek, die TV. So we are, in our church, we are busy with a series called His Way, and I'm going to give a bit of a snapshot and maybe do something slightly different to what we've been doing in our church. But we've been talking about His way. And it comes from the Sermon on the Mount. Now, all of us are pretty familiar with the Sermon on the Mount. Even if you shake your head and you say you've never heard of the Sermon on the Mount, I'll say a couple of things like turn the other cheek, love your enemy, build your house on the rock. Yeah, no, I've heard about this somewhere. In fact, it's an incredible sermon that Jesus preached. You know how long that sermon took? 14 minutes. If you were to go and read the Sermon on the Mount aloud, it will take you 14 minutes. And in those 14 minutes, Jesus talks about probably about 20 different things. So considering that we are not as clever as the biker church, we had to break it down into 20 sections. This morning, I'm going to try and give you everything in one shot because you're clever and you're smart. No. So everything has changed, but nothing has changed. In the last few months, everything has changed, but nothing has changed. One of the things that has changed for us is that we get closer to 20 minutes with our sermons. But seeing that I'm with you and you love people and you welcome people, we might go slightly longer. So 14 minutes, and in 14 minutes, Jesus says some of the most incredible things if we are able to grasp them. So I'm going to give you a bit of a snapshot of some of the themes that we've looked at. And you can just go read it. It's 3 chapters, like I said, 14 minutes. He talks about what it truly means to be blessed His way. And then he says some interesting things. You're blessed when you're poor. You're blessed when people insult you. You're blessed when you mourn. Doesn't sit lekker. He comes and he tells us that we are supposed to have influence wherever we are. It's one of the things I love about the Bikers Church, is because it's part of the DNA of who you are. You understand that you are supposed to have influence in a specific sphere of life, and I love that. He talks about the fact, and it's a crucial one, that he didn't come to abolish the law, but he came to fulfill the law. And that's a challenge for us. Messes a lot of people up. We've had to preach probably some of the toughest messages that I've had to preach in my life. Because I had to look at people and I had to say to them, if someone comes up to you and he slaps you, what Jesus expects of you is to tell that guy to say, would you please slap me again? Go read it. You see, we call it turn the other cheek, and we've gotten so used to the phrase that we don't know what it means. Luckily, I didn't have to preach the one on love your enemy. One of the other pastors preached that. And he preached that the week of Senegal. God in His grace allowed that to be the message of the day. Love your enemy. So I want to do a quick test. Okay, because again, love your enemy, we say it so easily. I want you to think of the person that you love the most. You've got a name, you've got a face. Now I want you to think, what would you wish for that person? What would you dream for that person? What would you pray for that person? How would you bless that person? You've got something in mind? Everyone got something? Now think of the guy that hates you the most. Another question is, are you prepared to wish the same and hope the same and pray the same and bless the same for him? You see, it's easy to say love your enemy. It's easy to sit in church and to hear the message. It's easy for the preacher to preach it. But sometimes it's difficult for the preacher to preach it. And God goes on and he says these things. He says we should pray in a certain way. We should give in a certain way. We should store up. That's the one we're doing this morning at the church. Store up treasure in His way. We should bear fruit. We should look like Him. And he continues on this journey saying, but this is the way that I require of you to live. What I love about chapter 5 is he says the following over and over and over. You have heard it said, but I say. And everything that you have heard it said comes from the Bible. But the people have allowed it to be twisted in a way that it began to suit them. So let's take eye for an eye. Tooth for a tooth. It's in the Bible. But the idea of that was the following. It was to give a judge direction in how he should pronounce a sentence. Does that make sense? So if someone steals your pencil and someone commits a murder, there's got to be two different punishments for that. And we all understand that. That makes sense. But what the people of the day began to do is to use this as an excuse for revenge. So eye for an eye doesn't fall away. Remember, Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law, not to abolish the law. Nothing of the law will fall away. Eye for an eye still stands. But unless you're a judge, handing out a sentence doesn't really apply to you. And you've got to love. You've got to turn the other cheek. You've got to walk the extra mile. So Jesus, and what we discovered as we journeyed through this, is he's setting out his way, but there's a problem with his way. It's darn difficult to walk in his way. Our illustrious tithe offering taker guy, where's he? Began to introduce that a bit. See, if I have no money in my pocket, God comes with his word and he says, I've got to give 10% of that away. That doesn't sound like it's going to work. If God calls on me to love my enemy, it doesn't seem like it's going to work. If he comes to me and he says, you've heard it said you should not commit murder, but I tell you, you're not allowed to call the guy a fool. And I think we need to change the word fool, because I think that's where we get confused. We don't use the word fool. Maybe we use other words that I'm not allowed to repeat. God says, I'm looking at your heart and I'm setting a much higher standard. You see, and God is setting out a way of life that is pretty difficult. And for most of us, me included, when we look at these things, we say, but how can this really work? God, how can you say to me, I've got to turn the other cheeks? I've got to create a bit of context. This is the example that I want to use for this. I don't think Jesus meant, we're talking about TVs. My TV has gone on the blink again. Let's see if I can fix it. That's better. I don't think Jesus meant that if the crook breaks into your house and steals your TV while you're sitting there watching it, that he's expecting you to say, there's another one in the bedroom, you want that one as well. So obviously there's context. Okay? But here's the thing, in my humble opinion, I think the context is 1%. And for 99% of the other things, we've got to turn the other cheek. Does that make sense? I think we do the opposite. We try and think this is for only the 1% of the circumstances. His way. You see, the Israelites are journeying, and they're on their way from Egypt to Israel. And it says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though it was shorter. Let's just stop there for a moment. So God leads them. That's key. God is the one directing them. He's taking them on a road, but he doesn't take them on the easy road. He doesn't take them on the shortest road. For God said if they were to face war, they might change their mind and return to Egypt. You see, we never know what's on the other road. It's like you're driving with your motorbike and suddenly you hear a voice. Maybe some of you, it's happened to you. And you hear this clear voice, turn left. And you want to argue with God. God, but I always take this road. This is the shortest road. It's the easiest road. It's the one paved with the golden bricks that I dream of driving, or the one with the sweeping bends. And if you're obedient and you take that left turn, you get home safe. But you don't know what was on the other road. We never know what's on the other road. But God knows, and he will direct us. And for some reason, his road is always the more difficult road. It's always the longer road in our mind. It says, and so God led them through the desert road towards the Red Sea. So how does this leading work? How did it look for them? Exodus 13, by day, the Lord went ahead of them in the pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. By night, in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or by night. Neither the cloud or the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of cloud by fire left its place in front of the people. So these guys had an incredible privilege. They had this literal cloud by day that gave them shade. And as the cloud moved, they knew which way to go. And at night, a pillar of fire that protected them gave them heat. So they get to the Red Sea. Exodus 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the people to turn back and to encamp near that place that I can't pronounce, between Migdol and the sea. And Pharaoh will think that the Israelites are wandering around in the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. We need to get what's happening here. If you have time this afternoon, go look at a map and you'll see what's happening. So firstly, we have the Red Sea basically on the north. And then on the left-hand side, or what would the east, southeast, we have this place called Migdol. And it almost forms like a triangle. It's a trap. It's a choke point. The further they walk, the more trapped they become. And remember, the Israelites' army is on their back. So Migdol means a fortified land. It can mean a walled city, a castle, or an elevated land. Basically, on the bottom on the left, they can't go that way. There's a fortified land on that side. This side is the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army is on the back. God says, listen to this, I am leading you. God, where are you leading me? Where's this going? I've read your word. I want to try and love my enemy. I've loved my enemy. I want to continue to love my enemy. But where is this going? Because the more I love him, the more it seems like I'm leading myself into a trap. I'm walking into a dead end. Okay, we all know the story. God opens the Red Sea. They walk through. The only way they walk through the Red Sea is if they walk into the trap first. If they walk into the impossible situation first, if they walk into that space where, God, I'm continuing to obey you and respond to you and walk in your ways, but I'm not seeing a way out. God opens the door. An incredible thing happens. 40 years later, in fact, two guys are spying out Jericho and they hide in a woman's loft for the night. Remember that story? Listen to what this woman tells her. He says, "We have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea 40 years ago for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed." You want to take away the power of your enemy? You continue to walk in his way. Even if it leads to a place where you feel you're trapped. Because God has the ability and he will open the Red Sea. He will do the impossible. I was watching this gentleman here when that gentleman was talking about the tithing. He was shaking his head furiously saying, "Yes, it's true." Somewhere in his life, he continued in the way of God. He did what God asked of him. Even though it sounded crazy, he's shaking his head again. He's agreeing. I like this guy. Is he a nice? Oh, that's good to know. Otherwise, I would have been in trouble if I liked the wrong guy. You see, and God opened, and God did a miracle, and God changed things. You want to take away the power of the people who hate you and persecute you? Continue to walk in his ways, even if it leads you into a difficult space. Continue in his way. Hoekom maak ons TV die hele tyd so? En ons weer probeer. Okay, sorry oor die TV. 40 years later, they're at the Jordan. It says, now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. Isn't it interesting that for some reason God always asks us to do some things when it's a flood? It's never, we'll get to the golden bricks and the transparent bricks someday, but for now there is potholes. For now there is floods. For now there are difficult seasons. And for some reason, those are the times that God wants to use. Those are the moments that he is looking for. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. These guys could have said, I think God has lost his mind. This river is in flood. How are we going to get over this? Is his word really true? Is what he says really applicable still for us today? Hasn't things changed? Aren't the circumstances different? Listen to what happens. And now when all the Ammonite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted in fear. They no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. You want to disarm your enemy, you will probably need to walk through a flood. You're probably going to have to walk into a dead end as you continue to follow his ways. Give his way. Judge his way. Love his way. Bear fruit his way. That's what Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount. When he tells us all these different things. His way. So I had a conversation with an old friend a month or so ago. Just a telephone conversation. I haven't spoken to him in a long time. He's a former pastor. He's now retired. And as we chatted, he said, as we closed the conversation, he says the following to me. He says, "So, now, because of COVID, we have had to change our theology." And I had to think about that for a moment. Because on the one hand, he's correct, and the other hand, he's wrong. He's wrong in the sense that now suddenly we have to change something. God hasn't changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But maybe in the circumstances, I was confronted with something that had to caused me to change, to align with who He has always been. You have heard it said, but I say. You see, when Jesus came in the Sermon on the Mount, He wasn't changing who God was. He wasn't changing anything of what God said. He was aligning the people to what God actually said. Maybe this is a good season when there's a flood and there's chaos and there's a trap for us to ask the question, do we really know who God is? Do we really know what He expects of us and how He wants us to live? You see, Jesus says the following about Himself in John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, I am the light of the world. We don't have that pillar of fire, but guess what? We have Jesus, and He's the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And if you follow Jesus, even if it feels like you're walking into a trap, even if it feels like you're heading into a flood, but you continue to follow Him, He is your light. And you will never be in darkness, but you will have the light of life. So one of the things I like about coming to this church is I always try and see where the new banners are and what's happening. Maybe you've been here so long that you forget about the banners. But if I understand correctly, these banners represent years and years and years of God speaking into your life. So how many of you are still all or nothing? Or was it the flavor of the day for 2 months? How many of you are still saying we're not going to turn back? There's hope in Christ. We're going to rebuild new territory, rise up and build. There's one I saw this morning that I liked. I've missed it now. I don't know where it is. You see, God has been speaking to you over and over and over. And these things are building blocks. The Sermon on the Mount is building blocks. He's building things into our lives. And if we allow Him to build that into our lives, we'll stand on a solid foundation. And we'll be able to overcome all of the challenges that come our way. But we've got to walk in His ways. His ways are challenging, because they are not normal. They are countercultural. Your dad never taught you that if someone slaps you, ask him to slap you again. He probably told you the following. If you hit, hit first. Am I right? If there's going to be hitting, make sure you hit first and he doesn't get up. And we laugh about that, but it's been ingrained in us. Jesus says something different. So here's where I want to close. I don't know how I'm doing on my 14 minutes as the timekeeper. I'll be okay still. 4 minutes left. I'll make it. He's a good liar. I like that. You see, we've got to practice His way. And I like this word because it means two things actually. You play with the S and with the C. The one means you've got to try it until you get it. Okay, believe it or not, you might never invite me back to this place in your life. I've never ridden a motorcycle in my life. Never, ever. Huh? VJ. I understand the theory. You've got to let the clutch go. And there's up and downs. I know some of the theory. But that actually means nothing. For me to be able to drive a motorcycle, I've got to do what? I've got to practice. I'm busy teaching my daughter, the second daughter, how to drive. I learned some tricks with the first learning experience. And it's for me, it's so easy. So one day, it's actually I think it might have been the first day of a matric exam last year. She's nearly in an accident that might have killed her. Because a bucky was coming around a corner and she didn't see it. It was a yield sign, a toegeteken. And so I've taught her. You can go back to second and we don't have to stop. We can go. You see, but I'm so used to driving that there's something that I do that I didn't tell her. So she's in second. And most of you know that when you're in second, the car's moving. It's not slow. And she had to slam on brakes and she had to stop. And in that moment, I realized there's something that I do so automatically that I've forgotten. And that is, I can keep the car in two, put the clutch in, touch the brake, and nearly come to a stop and still go out in second. And I had to teach her that. We have to practice. But that word practice also means put it into practice. Actually do it. And then Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount. He says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, it's like a wise man who built his house on a rock, and the rain came down and the streams rose. The winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Doesn't this sound exactly like the Red Sea and like the Jordan? There's a flood, there's a trap, there's an impossible situation. The winds are blowing, everything is chaos, the things are flying around. But you will stand. But you will only stand if you walk in His ways. This is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. So what is Jesus saying? I've been talking for 13 and a half minutes. Now I'm going to get to the point. If you are able to actually do all of those things, put them into practice, then you will stand. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. So, we all hear it. The hearing is not the issue. It's the doing. It's the putting into practice. It's like a fool. A man who built his house on the sand and the rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew like it's blowing now and beat against the house. Fell with a great crash. You see, for some of these things, we need to actually practice them in terms of we're going to try it and we're going to fail. We're going to make mistakes. But that's okay. That's okay. The key is not to give up. The key is not to give up. But to get to that place where you truly believe that His word is true. And if He says, I've got to love my enemy, no matter how crazy that sounds, I've got to turn my back on things, I've got to surrender and all or nothing for Jesus. If I actually do that, then in the midst of that storm, nothing will happen to me. And crazy as that sounds, I've weaved together two or three different stories from different places in the Bible, but it looks like it's true. It looks like God is able to do these things if we continue to walk in His ways. I want to close with Isaiah 55. You're welcome to go read it. It's an invitation to come and drink for free, to share in what God has for free. Then he says something interesting. Somewhere around verse 8 or 9, I'm not exactly sure. He says, nou is ons TV sommer heeltemal weg, maar dis okay. He says, my ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. So what does that mean? That means someone slaps me. I ask them to slap me again. Allow God to come into that situation. If there's anger, I need to deal with that anger in a godly way. And God says some incredible things about what we should do with anger. He says we should take the first step to reconcile. It's not the way we were taught. Because it's an eye for an eye. Got to get him back. And so often these things are so ingrained in our subconscious, we don't even know we are doing it. I taught my daughter for a year how to drive a car. I forgot. that I press the clutch when I get to yield sign when I'm still in second, and I actually slow down to a more controlled speed so that I have options. But some of us, we're just in second and we're just going. And we're hoping that there's nothing coming from the side. It's so entrenched in our way of living that we don't even recognize it. And I want to trust that God would show you the areas where you are actually not following in His ways, so that He can change that. And He can direct your ways so that you can get to the place where you see these incredible miracles take place. So His ways are not my ways. He says, my word is like rain and like snow. We had beautiful rain last night. Lovely, lovely soft rain. It was beautiful. And I walked out this morning and there's a certain patch of grass that I'm trying to get going, and it's almost just green overnight. God says, my word is like that. It cannot come back. It's like the rain. When it falls down, it has to wet the earth. It has to bring forth life. But here's the catch. His word is also like snow. And some of us miss that sometimes. And we don't live in a country where it really snows, so we don't understand this. You see, but snow can fall today, and it does not wet the earth. It does not produce any growth. That snow has to melt. And that can take 6 months, it can take a year, but it will melt and it will bring forth life. For some of you, maybe you're sitting here and you said, but I've trusted God, I've turned the other cheek, I've loved my enemy, I've given the way that He expects me to give, I've done all these things, I've not judged, but nothing has happened. My life has not changed. The situation has not changed. I want to remind you that His word is like water. It cannot go back to Him, but it is also, unfortunately, sometimes like snow. And then we've got to stick it out. We've got to continue to walk deeper and deeper and deeper into that which looks like a trap. We need to continue to walk towards the flood. Because if we turn around in that moment, nothing good happens. There's no other way out. If the Israelites turned around, they would have walked into the Egyptian army and they would have all died. And I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe as you look around at these banners and they remind you of the years of journey in this church, maybe as you look at one of them, God reminds you of some of the things that you said to Him or He said to you maybe years ago. Maybe somewhere along the line you began to say, but this is not happening. I've held on for so long, but I've not seen the breakthrough of God. I want to remind you this morning that His word is true. And whether it's rain or whether it is snow, it will produce. You've got to continue to walk in His way. I'd love to pray with you. And if there's any of you saying that I want to make a fresh dedication to walk in His ways, I want to make a fresh dedication to walk in the practical things that He's asking of me, loving my enemy, understanding what true blessing is, being salt and light there where He has placed me. That's you, just pray with me in your heart. Father, we are your children, and you correctly call us sheep. But so often we are just like dumb sheep. We don't know where we're going. We just follow the crowd. We're just walking after the guy in front of us. Lord, you are the good shepherd, and you step into the circumstances of our lives. You are Emmanuel, God with us. You became flesh and you walked among us. And now through the Holy Spirit, you can do it again. God, we invite you afresh to step into our lives, to lead us and to direct us. Jesus, we turn our eyes to you, not a physical cloud and pillar of fire, but Jesus, the light of the world, and we look to you. We ask you to guide us, and we ask you to lead us. Father, I pray for those of us who are facing storms in this moment. We are who's looking at a flood right now. Lord, we call on you. We remind you of your promises. We beg you for your mercy and for your grace. Father, we want to trust that your word is true, that as we put our feet into the flood, the waters will dry up. And people will say, we've seen what God does. We don't want to fight anymore. We've lost the desire to battle with you. Father, would you disarm the enemies of our lives as we continue to walk in your ways? Father, we want to build our house on that solid rock. We want to put it into practice. We want to do it. And Father, for the areas where we have failed in the past, we ask for fresh grace this morning. Would you come and reignite a passion within us to serve you and to follow you wholeheartedly? Remind us of your faithfulness in the past. Remind us of what you've done. Give us promises. Lord, I want to pray something very specific this morning. I want to pray for people who feel isolated and alone, even though they're sitting here and they have the biggest smile on their face. But inside, they feel like giving up. I pray, Father, that in this congregation, in this body, you would stir up people around them to notice that and to walk up to them and to call their bluff. Father, we want to call on you that your word would produce that for which you send it in this place. Father, I want to declare over everyone sitting here that as they continue to walk in your ways, that you are able and you are willing and you are eager and you are waiting to open Red Seas and Jordans in their midst. Father, we pray for a season where they would see the miraculous hand of God. God, we've joked about the TV a lot and the screen, the projector. And I was just sitting there at the back with Madeleine, and she said that actually both of those items were donated. Father, we pray that in the same way as you've shown this physical thing, in the same way you would break through spiritually, emotionally, physically in the lives of everyone. Your word is true. We thank you for that. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So I want to encourage you to walk in his ways. Have a wonderful week. I don't know what happens next. Say net bye-bye, fella. Well, yeah, it's a. Yeah, I like you listening.